welcome to Backmarker Podcast. This is episode 8. My name is Raj.
My name is Braden.
Yo, what's up, Braden?
Not much. Feeling good. Episode 8. It doesn't feel like 8 episodes. It's gone quickly.
It has gone quickly. Eight. I don't know. Time flies when you're having fun. Some other cliche.
Exactly.
Et cetera.
Did you have fun this weekend then, watching Austria?
Dude,
All right, race review in just a minute. Let's just leave it at that. Let's just go straight into the race review then, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so Raj, as you've just given us as a short race review, as a summary, basically, it's all right. Good start, good finish.
It was a great start. The first lap was super awesome, and then it quickly dried up into a bit of a kind of procession for a while.
Yeah.
But the last 10-15 laps were super awesome.
Yeah, I felt like most of the race was kind of like a good game of soccer. Like, I'm not a huge soccer fan, but when you see a good one, not necessarily that much happens. It's all the suspense leading up to something's about to happen.
Yes.
Okay, not necessarily. And I think that's enough sometimes. Like, everyone always talks about, oh, there needs to be passing. And I think it's just as good to have near passes and near accidents and near, overtakes than to actually have them. It's just as satisfying if done well. And there were moments, but it felt like a longer race than it was because it wasn't that long.
It flew by, didn't it? I actually didn't think it was long at all. I didn't think it felt long. I thought it felt super damn short.
Yeah, I mean, in the middle, I guess because I was just kind of like, I'm a bit tired. It was late.
Something needs
to happen. Then I look at my clock. I'm like, actually, it's still like half the race is... Oh, no, it's already passed. What is going on? The race finished in less than an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, I remember feeling like, wow, okay, nearly race over. Look at the clock and it's like 10:45 and I was like, what the hell? Like, it was just especially compared to Baku.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a pretty quick race, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the quick laps, I think, make it feel that way. I mean, there were 71 of them, but they're really quick laps. Minute 8s, minute 9s for most of the time, for most of those tyres and most of the drivers.
Yep.
So, I don't mind that, especially during qualifying. I kind of liked these short lap times because you'd get a lot more action on the track, a lot more chances to get a good qualifying time.
That's true.
In a race, I don't know. I felt like there were times where you'd see the same driver take the same turn 3 or 4 times and that's all you see because of the way that they're capturing it.
Yeah.
There's just not enough there to be kind of, I don't know, not the most interesting track. I think we talked about that last week.
And again, like, what did you ask me last week? What do you think of the track? Decidedly average. And what was the race?
Yeah.
Decidedly average.
Unfortunately,
there was
a few, like, suggestions of rain. I know, like, during a few different sessions, everyone's like, oh, we're not sure. I think even in qualifying 3, there was some people putting on the bets, look, we might get some at the end here, but if it was going to rain, it wasn't going to happen in time for it to make a difference.
Yeah, no, I think they said it was about a 50-60% chance right at the start, so I was like, awesome, toss a coin, let's get some rain, but the coin landed on the other side and it was not to be.
I saw a tweet from an Austrian fan like an hour after the race that they got caught in rain, though. Like an
Are you
hour.
Serious?
Yeah. I don't know if it was I don't know if it was much, or I don't know how much it rained an hour later. This is just a tweet as well. This is not like objective truth, but this is what some Twitter person said. Like, look at Austria now, and it was raining. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Like an hour before, and you would have seen maybe something interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
But no, not to be. Either way, though, I think a good result for us being Ricciardo fans.
Oh yes, indeed. Ricciardo came through in third. The last 10 laps were an awesome show of Ricciardo holding off Lewis Hamilton, who for the second race in a row did not make the podium. In fact, Ricciardo's had exactly as many podium finishes as Lewis Hamilton this season.
Wow.
By the way. He held him off by the very skin of his teeth.
Yeah.
Like, you saw, like, his nose, Hamilton's nose was actually in front at one point, and Ricciardo came back, held him off, and finished him off towards the end of the race. And he was actually super pumped about it as well. There's actually a clip of it. I don't know if you have it or...
This one here. This is basically when the race finishes and they're congratulating them on the team radio. This is Ricciardo's reaction.
Nice job, mate. Excellent. Very good.
I like his commitment to that, though. They're like, oh, good job, Ricciardo. And he's like, still going, grunting away. I think that sums him up.
It really does, doesn't it? Yeah. And I think he, holding off a three-time world champion, one of the best drivers in the field for that long, just ragged defense, he was super, super excited. And he actually said he was more pumped about this third place than the win last week.
Yeah, he said it felt more earned, basically. It did. Like, nothing needed to fall in line, really. Like, he actually got himself into third from, turn one, basically. He was in the final third. The podium was decided by the end of the first lap, essentially. Yep. But he made his way there perfectly. And then he had to hold off a lot of people, especially Hamilton at the end. I know a lot of people were talking like, oh, if only went one lap longer, Vettel would have taken the lead over Bottas. At least Vettel said that. Yeah. Vettel said he would. I think there's some fans that said, you know, maybe two or three laps. I don't know about one. I do think that Hamilton was going to get Ricciardo if one more lap came, like if there was one more lap in that race.
Yeah, I mean, hearing the post-race interviews with Hamilton, they asked him, so if you had one more lap, would you have got him? And he said, I don't know. I was trying as hard as I could for the last 10 laps, and I didn't get anywhere. So
he could get him in sectors 1 and 3, but that middle sector, the Red Bull had it. It was really good to see.
Damn quick through there. Proper quick through there. They were actually competing with the Mercs and the Ferraris on race pace, genuinely.
Yeah, very rarely I see that. Yeah. Like, even if you see the Red Bull in front of them and holding them off, you don't ever see that they always look slower. Except then, where they looked like they're actually gaining a little bit of space between the two cars, which is rare for them.
It always looked, or this year anyway, it's always looked like a degrading gap. If they've got a gap, eventually it just evaporates, right? They don't have the race pace to keep a gap, like maintain a gap or to increase a gap, definitely. But I think that's what Ricciardo also said after the race, you know, I think that's why I was so pumped up and so you know, loud after the race, was that the car felt good. The car felt like it was competing with the boys on race pace, and I think that's a definite change with the Red Bull, and I think it's going to stay.
Well, for one of their drivers anyway. Verstappen, unfortunate. From turn one, again, another race decided in turn one, basically, because, funnily enough, it was the junior Red Bull team's fault, or junior Red Bull driver Kvyat's fault. No doubt about it. The footage of that is really ridiculous, because you see Verstappen, he's pretty much clueless to what's going on behind him. He's checking his mirrors and he sees Alonso there. He trusts Alonso. He's an experienced driver. He has the space. Everyone's giving themselves the right amount of space. So he's going around the outside. He's going to be fine. Alonso's onboard footage, he is looking in the mirrors, each mirror perfectly. Alonso was very aware of everything going on. And then you see Kvyat. He gets a kind of average start behind his teammate Sainz, who has a very bad start, goes around him, and then it just doesn't look like he is even driving anymore. It looks like that car is just going to go straight into Alonso from the minute he gets around Sainz. It's really bad.
That's the thing, though. He gets alongside his teammate. I think, again, got a little bit hot-headed, braked way too freaking late, locked up the, was it the fronts or the rears? Possibly all four.
I think it was at least three of the four tires were pretty badly smoking.
And just right into the back of Alonso. I think he basically just thought, look at how good I am at dominoes. Yeah. And boom, hits Alonso, takes out Verstappen. And that's the end of, I think, no, not all three of their races, but two of their races. Anyway, Kvyat re-entered the race, unfortunately, the dude who caused it.
It might be the end of his career, though. Some people are calling for it already.
Yeah, weird. Weird that you say that, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we got some news. There's a lot of talk at the moment with all these seat changes for next year and what's going on.
Silly season has started.
It's coming up, definitely, and I think this is the point of the race where, you know, drivers have to, if they haven't been pulling their thumb out, they have to do it now.
Yeah.
And if they don't have something, if their position isn't exactly safe, they need to be proven a point.
For sure.
Races like this are important for that, and I think a few of them did. I think Verstappen, going back to him, it's really unfortunate. They were saying apparently that the reliability issue may have got him, even if the crash didn't. Once again,
no. I was going to bring that up just then. I'm pretty sure his retirement was his start. He said as soon as I dropped it onto start, something felt weird with the clutch.
Yeah,
I dropped into anti-stall, and then it did not feel good going up the hill towards turn one. And then, I have a feeling that his gearbox was pretty much fucked.
I think he would have lasted maybe another two laps without that crash anyway, before eventually having to go into the pits and be told it was terminal anyway.
No.
So I don't know. When do you see Verstappen coming back from these issues? Because, I mean, that's five DNFs this year?
Five out of seven races. The last seven races have been retirements.
It's really bad.
It's not great.
We spoke about last week, less race miles than a McLaren, either of the McLarens. And Red Bull as a team, because of Verstappen's issues, have had less race miles than the team of McLaren, which, I mean, no one's really talking about that. But that's bad in terms of reliability. And some of them weren't just straight reliability. There were some incidents. But yeah, I don't know. Because especially, as we're saying, drivers moving, things like that. You're not exactly instilling confidence in this very promising young driver that you're the team to have, you know, to hold that seat if this shit's happening week in, week out.
I have a feeling that Red Bull is going to have to rely on their contract this year because... to be honest, Max doesn't really decide what happens in his career.
No.
Jos decides what happens in his career. And for those of you who don't know, Jos Verstappen is Max Verstappen's dad, an ex-Formula One driver.
You probably heard that name when the commentators said it this weekend. I think twice. On two occasions.
Jos Verstappen and Jan Magnussen.
Jan Magnussen? I did not catch that one as well. Wow.
Living in the 90s.
Wow, is that... How many can you get away with before someone's like, look, I think you're getting a little old for this commentary thing. Oh, man, that's pretty funny. I did him call, Jos Verstappen, but I thought that was funny because a lot of people do argue that Max Verstappen's career is based on his father's decisions on where he's going. So, they need to work on those reliability issues, Red Bull.
Yeah, or they will lose him. Mm. They will lose him.
And Ferrari, who do you even fill that seat with?
Apparently... Who? Pierre Gasly.
Straight to Red Bull.
Yeah, or Carlos Sainz. Sainz would probably be the logical choice. Gasly would move to the Toro Rosso, and then Kvyat would pick up the scraps.
Speaking of Sainz, just really quickly, did you see the interview with Christian Horner about Sainz? Well, they were doing an interview with Christian Horner about generally the weekend. They basically said, Sainz has come out and said he is not going to be with Red Bull or Toro Rosso next year. He's basically said, I'm not at Toro Rosso next year.
Christian Horner said
that. No. Sainz came out and said that, which is essentially his way of saying, bump me up to Red Bull or I'm going to start looking elsewhere.
But Christian Horner said that to the interviewer.
No, the interviewer asked, so this is what Carlos Sainz says, as the Red Bull, team principal, what do you make of that?
Yeah.
And he says, look, I don't know where he'd think he'd be going. Toro Rosso is doing a lot better than Renault, where I've heard some rumors about that name popping up. I think he has a contract and I think he needs to be aware of that. And the commentator basically said to him, so do you think he's had a slap on he'll get a slap on the wrist for that? And Christian Horner, most badass response ever, goes, I think he just did.
Ooh, all right.
So a little bit of tension there. Exactly what you're saying. I think Sainz is the logical progression to a Red Bull seat, but it's no guarantee.
No, and to be honest, Carlos Sainz deserves a good seat, right? He's never going to get it at Red Bull. Let's just be clear about that. Mm. Ricciardo and Verstappen... Best driver pairing on the grid.
Oh, that's the optimal choice.
You're never going to replace them, right? No. At least for the next few years.
Not by choice.
It would just be dumb. Yeah, not by choice, of course. But I think Carlos Sainz needs to look elsewhere. I think a works Renault seat,
Christian, a bit more promise, maybe.
Christian Horner kind of says, Renault, Toro Rosso is faster than blah, blah, blah. But Renault gave Alonso two championships. Renault has... been a winning team in Formula One for decades. So
what has Toro Rosso given Formula One? Scott Speed.
Sweet fuck all, I think.
Scott Speed. My favourite race car driver name of all time.
Yeah. Oh, just excellent.
Can we just quickly... We need a whole segment on best race car driver names, but I think he wins regardless. Scott Speed.
Will Power. what are some other ones?
Oh, God. Pretty much anyone who drives NASCAR just sounds like a NASCAR driver.
No, but they just sound like a redneck, in other words.
Well, NASCAR driver.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jimmy Johnson.
Anyway, getting back to the race, let's quickly go through, our predictions.
Yeah, okay.
Considering it was, there's not a huge amount to talk about in that race.
Not really.
The beginning, the end is exactly where it ended up.
We should mention, though, the last 10 laps, Vettel was hunting Bottas down lap by lap, got within a second... but Bottas managed to hold him off and take another win. His second win in Formula One, by the way. So
it was a very,
congratulations to Valtteri.
Very calm and collected performance. Same as his other win in Russia. It was all just very, from pole to win. Never looked in doubt, really, until, this one very close to the end. Same as Russia, actually, very similar result. Vettel was almost gaining, but not quite. It just showed a lot of maturity from Bottas. And it's nice to see that he does have a bit of personality. He's a very likable fellow in Formula One.
He is. He makes noises.
Yeah,
which, for Finnish people, is very different.
No, and he's got the personality that when he was up there on the podium with Ricciardo and Brundle, he immediately refused the shoey, but yeah. kind of in a lighthearted, fun way, like, you know, no fucking way am I doing that disgusting thing over there. And Vettel agreed. So that was a good, it was a good podium.
Yeah.
Brundle's a, I don't know. It was an interesting podium. I don't like him on the podium as much as I like him behind the commentary box.
Yeah, yeah, I must say I agree with that. That being said, I'd rather him than that till what's his face German celebrity douchebag.
Yeah, he comes out every now and then.
Oh my God, he's irritating.
If you don't know who he is, next time he comes and does a post-race interview this season, we'll definitely have a discussion about that. Speaking of interviews, the post-qualifying interview. The main issue between Hamilton and Vettel.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because, of course, Hamilton did start from sixth? Where did Hamilton end up starting? He had a 5-point...
Eighth.
Oh, of course,
He went from third down to eighth.
Yeah, so he finished on third, went down to eighth with his 5-place grid penalty for a
gearbox change.
But what basically happened is now they're interviewing them on the grid after qualifying. Who was the guy that interviewed him and asked him to... Davide, can you guys shake hands?
The 2012 GP2 champion, Davide Valsecchi, who is actually probably a more irritating guy than that German guy I just mentioned.
Oh, a very entertaining race.
He's just super chirpy. He's super happy. He's a great guy. Mm. I am kind of mocking him, but he sounds like a Mario character, does he not? Like, it's a little bit...
I mean, I think Vettel sounds like a Mario character when he celebrates in Italian, when he gets a race win. Forza Ferrari! He really puts on the accent that he doesn't normally have. But no, the actual post-qualifying interview where they had the normal chat, how'd you feel about that? How do you feel about tomorrow? All that. And then at the end, when they're about to walk off, he says, now before you go, I have to have you, Hamilton, and you, Vettel, shake hands and put everything behind and all this shit. And Hamilton just says, no, we shook hands before, and they just walked off. And it made it look like it was a big drama and all this crap. And then Formula One, as if, like, I don't know what Formula One's thing is they're doing with this rivalry. They either need to let them be themselves and forget all the PR bullshit and just have a, like, legitimate hatred and rivalry with each other, or they need to go the other way, because immediately after that, they posted a picture of them shaking hands before the post-qualifying interviews.
Yeah.
So they definitely shook hands. They don't seem to have a problem. Formula One either need to put this all behind them and focus on the race, or they need to do, like, a proper, like, let each other go at it. Let him, like, don't let the PR guys talk to him. Let him have the rivalry. And that could work for Formula One. I think Christian Horner's come out and said they probably hate each other.
Formula One.
Exactly.
And let's be honest, they probably do hate each other right now. But then again, which championship rivals love each other?
Best, it's not like the best rivalries are openly, like, hatred towards each other during, you know, the season.
Do you think
mutual
Hamilton
respect
had
otherwise?
Breakfast with Rosberg every day? Do you think Schumacher had breakfast with Hakkinen? It doesn't happen. Senna did not have breakfast with Prost.
No.
It just doesn't work that way. When you're competing week after week, day after day after day, you're going to hate the guy. You have to hate the guy.
Yeah, he's in your way.
It's useful for you, right? Yeah,
exactly. And in a press conference, when asked that question, you shouldn't have to tiptoe around it
like they seem to be.
Yeah.
Blow it up. I think they should just blow it out of proportion. Mm. Why the hell not? It's entertaining.
Yeah.
And if that's what Liberty's trying to do, entertain,
I think this was a really good example of Liberty maybe not a step in the wrong direction, but not a step in any direction. They kind of were like halfway there. They're like, oh, we're going to tell you what's happening with the press conferences. We're not quite sure. And then they release them, and of course, it's Hamilton sitting next to Vettel with poor Magnussen, wasn't it?
Magnussen
sitting in the middle. And like, that's okay. Liberty Media are obviously trying to contrive a situation where shit could go down. Mm. Awesome. That's smart. Most sports do that. They try and create a story. But then they didn't ask the right questions and didn't really, do much other than post one social thing about it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, let him just have the two of them. Make a special occasion where it's like, no, just the two of you now get to answer questions. Oh, media, feel free to ask about the rivalry. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
Make it difficult for them to, get over it. Or do the opposite. They didn't do either. And I'm a bit annoyed by that from Formula One Media Liberty's point of view for this weekend.
Yeah,
so
no,
we'll see where they go
with
that.
Yeah.
Anyway, predictions, where they were. Let's start with this one, because this is my favorite. Our crazy predictions of what we thought would happen in Austria.
God, don't even fuck.
Yours is funny. Yours says Alonso top five. Where did he come?
Top nothing.
Yeah. Mine's equally kind of shitty, because I said two Red Bulls on the podium.
Yeah. Well, you got one.
I got one. I got half, but the other one didn't even finish. So.
No. So.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, not great.
Pole position. You said Vettel. I said Bottas. So
nice.
Point for me.
Nice.
I was happy with that. And then the 1, 2, and 3, we kind of both got messed up because of Hamilton, but we both said Vettel would win. We were close, no cigar. You said Hamilton would come second. I said he'd come third. Neither of us are anywhere there on that.
No.
And you said Verstappen would come third.
Picked the wrong Red Bull.
I know. And I said Bottas would come second, which I'm a little closer. So I think I'm actually the closest on that one. Technically,
yeah, you are the closest, and neither of us were close at
no,
all.
No, not really. And then safety cars, we both said one, and there was none.
None.
Was there a virtual
safety
car?
We said one, or it might be none, right? And it was none.
We had to make a prediction.
Yeah.
Did they do a virtual safety car? They obviously did for...
They did
I can't
do
remember,
a VSC.
On lap one, and that was really it.
Yep.
And they recovered Verstappen's car very quickly. That wrapped up very quickly, and then they just went on with racing.
Yep.
I did find the tyre strategies throughout the race the only real thing that could have maybe eventuated into something, because, you know, no one really knew what the optimal tyre was.
Everyone was blowing that up, I think, a lot. And I honestly, what, I don't get why
thing,
people
or?
Were saying, like, the tyres, there's nothing between them. They have the same pace with the same durability. That's really going to open up our strategies. And I'm like, how the fuck does that open up your strategy? Surely if you have tyres that are exactly the same,
it closes
that would
it,
close
yeah.
it. So I don't know if the commentators were literally just saying...
Clutching at straws a little bit.
Yeah, look, like, there's something which is black, like, and they're just like, wow, look at this white object. It's fantastic. It's like, actually, it's okay. You can
or
just
it was
say
a
whatever
really
the hell
complex,
you want,
yeah.
apparently.
And maybe it was a really complex thing about pit stops that they did not fully explain to us or
maybe,
something. Yeah.
Maybe. I thought about it, honestly, for like half an hour, just racking my brains, like, why does this mean it's going to be open? I couldn't come up with anything, so... Yeah. Hell, if anybody listening knows what they were talking about, put it on our website.
Explain it. We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Teach us, please.
I did hear that. But the other thing, I mean, there was a lot of blistering. Though there was a lot more talk about blistering
there
this
was,
weekend.
There was.
I mean, there was a lot of blistering,
pretty big
too.
Amount of blistering, first of all. But, I was surprised where on the tyre it was occurring.
Was that actually occurring more than normal? Or were they just talking about it more because there was less to talk about?
No, I think it was happening more than normal. And blistering is caused by thermal degradation, right? It's not the tire actually degrading, like bits coming off or whatever. It's getting over an operating temperature and then the actual surface of the tire forming a blister.
So would you say that mainly comes from the Pirelli guys not making tires good enough, or the driver basically not controlling it, or the track? I mean, where does that really come down to?
The cars.
I think, well, that's good, though.
Higher cornering speed just increases the stress in the tires like exponentially, right? So I think that the tires were just taking that much more stress, and they're blistering as a result.
I liked the last time
we saw this amount of blistering around 2004, the last time the cars were this fast. So it does depend pretty much on speed.
I don't mind it. I mean, I like the fact that your tires are now actually degrading, and you need to consider coming in because your tires are no longer working. Like, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of races where we see you literally just making a tire change because, you know, you have to get to the mandatory tire and, you know, you could finish the lap. But this time it felt legitimately like you need to come in the next 8 laps, and we're just going to hope the guy in front of you needs to as well because your blistering is this bad. It's a nice balance that Pirelli sort of hit on this one.
It's true that was the one good thing about it, the fact that there was some degradation, even if it wasn't normal degradation, thermal degradation, at least it was... degradation.
But it was almost the same across all tyres.
Yeah, but it was the same across all the tyres. And if you're calling one ultra soft and the other one soft and they're exactly the bloody same, it's a joke. Mm. Like, make the tyres different.
Yeah, go back to, you know, prime and alternate.
A prime and an option, maybe. But option, even so, they need to physically make the compounds different, like significantly different. They need to make them quicker to turn on. They need to make them tires that are raceable, man, not tires that are uber super challenging. Like, which F1 fan watches F1 because we like to watch the best drivers in the world kind of doing chemical experiments with different compounds of rubber, blah blah blah. It's pointless.
No, you want to see drivers punished on their tires when they do something they shouldn't. Like go off the track or push their car too hard.
Yes.
But otherwise be able to drive it their fastest as much as they need to.
Yes. And
it's a hard balance.
They degrade at different rates. Yeah. The ultra soft is really ultra soft, like a qualifying tire almost. The hard is bloody hard, but it still has a fair amount of speed.
Yeah.
But let's say maybe I'd like to see possibly a 5 to 6 second difference between the top and the bottom of the range.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see drivers on long stints.
Exactly.
Unfortunate. But look, I think overall, not the worst race of the season.
Not the worst race, not the best. It was, again, decidedly average.
Yeah, middle of the ground.
Yeah.
But luckily, we've got Silverstone literally next weekend. Gap. So I think we'll wrap up our race review here.
Yeah.
Let's go talk about some news, and then we'll get into a race preview at the end.
Well, forgot one thing.
Yeah.
Right before we move on, let's just do a driver of the day thing. Who was the driver of the day in Austria
for
you?
So best and worst?
I don't know if we should do worst, but yeah, why not? Best and worst.
Let's do best and worst. All right, my best driver of the day. Of course, Formula One gave it to Bottas. I don't want to sound super, biased towards my guy, but I think Ricciardo. I think he was more impressive on track. I mean, Bottas, as I said before, calm, collected, did everything he needed to do.
Yeah.
But wasn't super challenged until the very end. I think Ricciardo did a lot to get to where he needed to be at the beginning of the race. And I think his challenge from Hamilton behind was more work involved than Vettel's challenge to Bottas. If it went a little longer, maybe it would have been different. But I think, honestly, Ricciardo deserves my driver of the day.
I agree in the sense that Ricciardo definitely was more deserving of driver of the day than Bottas.
Yeah.
But I believe one man was more deserving than him.
Okay.
Romain Grosjean.
Fair enough. So your driver of the weekend.
Unbelievable performance.
Because he had an awesome qualifying as well.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He had a great weekend full stop.
Definitely.
Finished ahead of both Force Indias in a Haas, which is damn impressive. I must say, I was impressed with him.
And unfortunate for his teammate as well, because he had issues on the whole weekend. So it could have been even better for Haas. But yeah, I agree. He was really impressive, Grosjean.
Yep.
And for the worst, I got to give it to Kvyat. As I said before, that was one of the worst moves I've seen. Definitely the worst move of the race. Took out two drivers and maybe cost yourself your next year's seat. I don't know. Like, or any more shit like that, basically. I think you can't be pulling shit like that.
No, that's got to be his last incident of the year.
Red Bull are like looking at signs to give him a better seat. They got Pierre Gasly in the background. They've already dropped you down.
Yeah.
Where the fuck are they going to put you, Kvyat? You do shit like that and take out someone like Verstappen?
Yeah.
Arguably, Verstappen was out anyway, but you took him out and made sure of it.
Arguably highly ironic.
Yeah. So, same for you. Worst driver was probably him?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else out there was that bad.
No one else did anything really, to note.
Exactly. We didn't even talk about Palmer this week. Let's not start. He was all right.
No, don't even mention the name.
Not even going to do it.
No.
Now, let's talk about our F1 news of the week.
Let's do it.
All right, Raj, you got the first story then?
Yep. Okay. So, the silly season in Formula One has officially started.
Mm.
It's officially started. It always starts a little bit slowly, but it's going to pick up hugely soon. Yeah.
So we've got Silverstone this week. We've got a week break. Then we got Hungary, I think.
Is it three in 3 weeks?
No. We got a week between Silverstone and Hungary, and then we got the four-week break. The middle of the year break is my understanding.
Okay, but then that would be a week between Austria and Silverstone and a week between Silverstone and Hungary?
No. So that we had Austria just then,
yeah,
and then we've got next weekend Silverstone,
yeah,
then we have a weekend off.
Then
we got Hungary, then the 4 weeks. Yes,
right.
But basically, in that 4 weeks, that's truly the silly season. So we're getting the early suggestions of silly stories. Oh, look who's moving here, and look who's leaving F1, and look what team might come in. All that bullshit.
Yeah.
So what have you got?
So GP3 reigning champion, something you guys probably weren't expecting.
GP3, not Formula. Is that GP3 meaning Formula 3 now?
No, it's not called Formula 3 now. Formula 3 is called Formula 3.
GP3 is still
GP3. But they renamed GP2 to Formula 2, but they kept GP3 as GP3 because Formula 3 was already a thing. You get me?
So GP3 champion from last year.
Yep.
Just to simplify it.
Trust me, racing fans were confused as bullshit at the start of this year. Okay, so the reigning GP2 fan and the leader of the current Formula 2 championship, Charles Leclerc.
Ah, yes.
You may have heard the name. If you haven't, look it up.
You'll see some highlights.
Oh, seriously. we'll put something in the description. But wow, this kid is insanely talented. Every time I watch him race, I get the shivers.
I remember seeing at least one or two GP3s from last year, and all the commentators were like, and what are we going to see from Charles Leclerc? Leclerc. I think there was that time. Was he the one who did the stop on a race that no one stopped?
Correct.
Last year?
That was this year. Bahrain Formula 2 race. I don't know if anybody knows how Formula 2 works. Basically, there's a feature race on the Saturday and a sprint race on the Sunday.
Which is what, 30 minutes,
yes.
25 laps, 30 laps or something.
Yes.
So no one stops.
Sprint race, no one stops, right?
You're allowed to, but no one does.
You're allowed to, no one does. So earlier this year at Bahrain, it came to Sunday and the sprint race started. Charles Leclerc was in eighth because he'd won the day before, and it's reverse grid in Formula 2. So the top eight positions are just reversed.
Yeah, at the
so
end of the
started
first
in eighth
one, yep.
And was just went absolutely ape. Charged and charged and charged to the point of tyres being destroyed.
Mm.
Pitted in a sprint race, came back out, did the same thing, charged and charged and charged, basically destroyed his tyres and won.
On the last lap.
On the last lap. I was gobsmacked.
Yeah, that was
gobsmacked.
Pretty amazing.
It was beyond amazing, man. But anyway, he deserves a seat in a Formula One team, some Formula One team.
And
everyone
he's
agrees.
A Ferrari Junior?
Ferrari development driver,
okay.
Correct.
So what team does he drive for in Formula 2? What's it called?
Prema.
Prema. So they're owned by Ferrari or major sponsored by Ferrari or something?
No. So Ferrari partnered. Sponsors the driver directly.
Oh, okay.
And as a result of that, they would be giving some money to Prema.
Okay, and that's why they've got the Ferrari logo on the Prema car.
Correct.
Because of him. Okay, sure.
But let's say Jahan Daruvala came through to that team, he would have the Force India logos everywhere.
Mm. But it's still a red car.
But they probably changed the scheme too.
Ah, interesting.
So Prema will change their schemes to whoever the hell sponsors them. And just like most teams, for example, in NASCAR.
Yeah, yeah. Big
Kyle
stickers
Busch
everywhere.
Is sponsored by, was it Nestle, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
It just goes from Snickers to M&Ms to Skittles and it just keeps changing.
Like a billboard.
Yes, and it's a delicious looking
car. Sorry, I keep getting sidetracked.
Yes.
What has he done?
Anyway.
What's going on?
So he's leading the Formula 2 Championship this year. He's pretty much the commentators are the same this year. They'll start talking about the race and then they'll be like, so what's Leclerc going to do? It's all about Leclerc. It's just about
how much
Leclerc.
Is he going to win by?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. The kid is a freak, and he needs to be in Formula 1. Everyone thinks so. And in fact, Sergio Marchionne, the boss of Ferrari, was saying he wants that kid in a Ferrari. And I've never heard a boss of Ferrari at any point ever say we'd like to take a rookie. We'd like to take a young driver. It never freaking happens.
And where is he from? Look, he's from
Monaco. He's
from
a Monegasque. Yeah.
Okay, so not just a Ferrari, not just a Formula One driver that lives in Monaco, but actually born and
from
bred.
From Monaco. Wow. Imagine a Monaco driver winning their home race in Monaco. That would be pretty much the best feeling a Formula One race driver could want, I think. Yeah.
That's really big. I mean, especially coming from him, because he's come out and said about Raikkonen this week, basically said, we need to see a higher level of commitment from Raikkonen.
Yeah.
Of course, Raikkonen doesn't have a contract at the end of this year. This is his last year on his contract.
Yep.
Vettel has an option in 2018 that Vettel needs to take up.
Yeah.
So that's the driver's option. And look, if Vettel, I can't see wanting to move at the moment.
No, I don't think
he's
pretty
comfortable.
Vettel will be at Ferrari
championship
car in 2018. I think Vettel will definitely stay there. I think Raikkonen is finally going to maybe not die, but at least retire.
I think he's going to retire.
Yeah,
I'd put my money on it now that, Raikkonen's going to retire.
Yeah,
I don't see him keeping his Ferrari seat.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
And I don't see him wanting to race anywhere else.
Nope.
I just don't think he has the motivation anymore.
Yep.
He's a little bit older. He just had a kid earlier this year, another kid.
Yeah.
You know.
He's a world champion.
He's done it. He can tick it all off the lists and go chill out in his homeland of Finland for a little while.
Yeah.
Go to Rally Finland once a year. That's all you'll ever see of him again.
Yeah.
He is definitely not coming out to do a freaking podium interview. Actually, that would be good, but he's never going to do it.
It would be the most epic thing ever, and it would last about 2 seconds.
Mm. So do you see Ferrari picking up Leclerc as a junior? Because when was do you know off the top of your head when that was happened last? If
Ferrari
ever?
Taking a rookie? Nope.
No. Not in recent history anyway.
Not in recent history, no. I'm honestly not sure. I think most likely he'll end up at Haas for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't see Ferrari taking him, like, even as much as Marchionne is talking.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to go to Ferrari.
But lock
next
him up
year.
With some awesome, you know, third-party deals
exactly.
and sponsorships to keep him nice and comfortable, and
exactly.
no one else can touch you for
so
a little while.
So who will take Raikkonen's seat then, Rajiv? What do you think? I think Antonio
good
Giovinazzi.
Good question, guest.
Yeah, good question, strange female guest in the corner. But I think Antonio Giovinazzi will take that seat next year. So we're going to have a Giovinazzi.
But he's technically
and
a
Vettel.
Rookie, almost.
Almost, yes.
And he's raced, but like
And I love the guy. I really wanted him to get the Ferrari seat this year. And I think he will get it next year. And I also think he will be kicked out by Charles Leclerc the year after because he's good, but this kid is like Hamilton good. This kid is freaky good, Senna good, Prost good.
Yeah.
Champion good. Look, Verstappen
you might
good,
be eating
man.
You might be eating your words, but I do agree. From what I've seen, yeah, one of the most impressive young drivers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I almost said young things, and that was been really weird. One of the most impressive young things I've ever seen.
Strangely sexual. Go, go.
Anyway, I don't know why. You didn't even need to know I thought about saying that. I don't know why I went back on myself. So that's one of the speculations that are going around. I mean, I've heard a bunch, talking, I think Vettel's going to go to Mercedes, and then you need a seat for Ferrari, and it's going to be Verstappen and Giovinazzi at Ferrari, and then you've got Carlos Sainz or Pierre Gasly going. It's like just it's a domino effect, of course. You've only got two drivers in a seat. It's not like sports teams that are, football teams, soccer teams, whatever, that have 12 positions. If you lose one, it's not just like, and then we feed in, it all goes around. You can pick up a junior player here or there and everyone shifts positions. This isn't like that. You've got two drivers, maybe one or two reserves, but they're not going out there week by week. It's the two drivers. So it is very much a domino effect, which we saw at the end of last year with Bottas and Rosberg, of course. So I don't know. When does that stuff normally play out? When do we start seeing these
pretty much
definitive stuff?
From the 4-week gap to the end of the year.
So people start signing and...
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And there's always one who's like the key. Once they sign up, then everybody else just falls.
Well, last year we had that. Then it all fell into place. And then Rosberg retired.
Yeah.
And it happened again.
Yeah.
He was the new key to the whole thing. Yep. And then, of course, you got the whole other thing about Manor leaving. So that's two less seats. And where is everyone going to fall out? I don't know if next... We're not... No, next year we're going to be at the right amount of seats. So it's more about who retires, you would think.
Yeah, you would think. Unless, of course, another team can start up. But at this point in the year, no freaking way.
There's a lot of interest, but not for 2018.
Yeah,
not yet.
Or 2019, I'd say. I'd say 2020 would probably be the soonest. But anyway, your story now.
Yes, I got a story here. Of course, coming up to Silverstone, we've got a week to go. We're going to be talking about that in a minute. But have you seen all the crap about Silverstone owners moving to end this Formula One contract that they have with Liberty or Formula One to no longer host the British Grand Prix?
Yeah, I have.
What do you make of it? Because, I mean, they've basically come out and said, look, we got everything we could have wanted. The weather was good. Hamilton won the last 2 years. Like, that's a British driver on British turf. Like, that's awesome. They got everything they could possibly want. And yet they said they lost £3 million 2 years ago and £5 million last year.
Oof.
And for some reason, they just can't break a profit on this whole venture, even though Bernie Eccleston, of course, rearing his head, basically coming out and said any other Grand Prix host anywhere else in Europe would be begging for the deal that I got with Silverstone. I don't know how you're not turning a profit. This is my favorite part of the quote. Silverstone's basically said, look, we know that we're probably the only ones in Britain that have the facilities and have the ability to put on the F1 event. So we're going to have to work out something. Like, they're kind of playing that card. And Bernie Eccleston just goes, I'd wager someone else will take it on. I don't know why they're asking
just
Bernie
classic
this shit.
Bernie.
Still
I don't know why
shit.
He's still getting involved in this stuff.
Because people call him for a comment. He's like, you want a comment? I'll give you a full interview about Silverstone.
I'll
Fuck
give
those
you a
guys.
Comment. Yeah, no, honestly, I don't think any other track in the United Kingdom can handle a Formula One race right now. I'd say Brands Hatch is probably the closest.
Yeah, but then you've got to consider not just the fact that the track needs to be ready for the cars, but you got how many fans? You've got 139 people were there last year. That's 139
people.
139,000 people.
That's better.
So times that number by 1,000. Yeah, Brands Hatch, I don't know. Even if the track could be fixed up in 6 months, do you have enough stands? Do you have enough physical space for these supporters?
Yeah, maybe not. That's the thing. But I think Silverstone's just trying to force a bit more money in their direction. Or, a few less fees in their direction is probably a bit better.
Yeah.
Because they know Liberty wants to keep the heritage tracks.
And they
know
need
they're not
the going to
throw them out the door.
Yeah.
So they're trying to push their weight around. I think that's all.
I think Liberty should push their weight around a little bit too. Like, hey, did you know we're an American company? We don't necessarily care as much as we maybe thought. You know, we've got a lot of heritage tracks. You know, throw that one out. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think you always need one in Britain. Even if we see a year off, if this all goes to the worst, I don't think, you know, it's not permanent.
Yeah.
They're saying that they're trying to work out a way that they can get out of their deal so next year is the last Silverstone.
Yeah.
If need be.
Yeah.
So it's a developing story. A lot of speculation and rumors. And Bernie Eccleston, your comments are not helping anyone.
Yeah, and it's...
They're funny,
it's
but they're not helpful.
It's absurd. Oh, yeah, I'll wager someone else would pick it up. My ass. Mm. Who?
No one else is going to talk to you about it either.
Exactly.
It's not your job.
He's just spreading dirt, really, but whatever. He's an old man who has no job.
I think we see Bernie Eccleston's funeral before we see the last Silverstone Grand Prix.
Ow.
Sorry, Bernie. There's my comment for you. You got another story? Yep. No one asked me for mine either, but there we go. I got another story here, Raj. What do you got?
So, Kvyat is set for a new Toro Rosso deal. That's what I was saying. I'll talk to you later about it.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just read it out. Daniil Kvyat looks set to remain at Toro Rosso next year after his Red Bull bosses indicated that they will shortly take up the option on his contract for 2018. Mm. Which is a bit odd considering what happened on the weekend. Yeah, you wouldn't have think that. And in fact, I thought as soon as I saw what happened, I'm like, okay, you've lost your job. That's my initial thought immediately. But it is true. He has been outpacing Carlos Sainz this year. His race pace has actually been way stronger than his teammates. And so in terms of the development of the car, it's Daniil who's driving it forward, not Carlos.
Okay. But obviously these talks were happening before this weekend. It's not like they just started talking about it on Sunday afternoon.
Came after the race. So from they've who? Seen him take out...
Who made the comments, sir?
Christian Horner.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So he said he's actually driven a pretty sensible season so far. So the likelihood... is that it will be him taken up in the relatively near future.
Hmm. Taken up in terms of...
As in the contract.
Of a new Toro Rosso
contract. Will be taken up.
That's interesting. Because, yeah. There's a lot of tension there, obviously, now.
Yeah.
He's had to come out, as I said before. Horner's had to come out and give a little bit of a, you know, in the media talking to about signs running around talking shit about Toro Rosso's seat. You know, although that incident did... potentially cost Verstappen the race. They have also said maybe it was his engine, or sorry, his gearbox anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe that wasn't the death sentence we thought it was?
No, I don't think it is. I really don't think it is, especially
really
now
wanna,
hearing this stuff.
Toro Rosso is a development team. 100% it's a development team.
Yeah.
You're never going to win a championship from Toro Rosso. That's not the goal of Toro Rosso, and it's not the goal for Red Bull to be using Toro Rosso for that. Should they be looking at other drivers? I mean, they've got Gasly in the works.
Yeah.
You know, as they said, you know, Daniel's been driving it a little bit more than Sainz. Do you want, maybe, I don't know, how long has Kvyat been there? 2014?
Yeah, he's
joined
been
Toro
there
Rosso,
for quite a while.
Jumped up to Red Bull.
Red Bull, kicked out. Went back to Toro Rosso.
What do Red Bull hope to get out of someone like Kvyat any further? They're not putting him back into a Red Bull.
To be honest, the team, they've denied this, but the team essentially has moved away from its development role in a sense.
Mm.
They've had a solid driver lineup for the last few years, and there's no sign that they want to give Gasly a seat.
Yeah,
absolutely
right.
None, which is, in my opinion, a bit disappointing. I'd love to see Kvyat maybe move to IndyCar, move on to a different category where he can actually compete for wins.
Right.
And I'd love to see Gasly get given the chance that he thoroughly deserves. But what do I think will happen? I think next year, the 2018 Scuderia Toro Rosso lineup will be Carlos Sainz and Daniil Kvyat, which is boring as hell. But I think that's what we're going to see in any case.
It's unfortunate. I don't see what Red Bull can get out of him anymore. They've bumped him up to the big leagues. They decided against that.
He's a solid, quick driver. That's all. Yeah, like,
but
you don't need that
in your development role, really.
Yeah.
You need one that might be scoring some points and one that's developing. You don't need two necessarily scoring points. That's not what that team's for.
No, I agree.
It's for someone to maybe get a Red Bull seat. They've tried that with Daniel.
Agree.
It's super embarrassing for them to ever want to bring him back.
Yeah.
It's not like if Verstappen... I don't see it happening if Verstappen... As you said before, if Verstappen moves away from Red Bull at the end of this year, I don't think they'd go, hey, Kvyat, remember that guy that took your seat? Do you want it back? They're going to give it to Sainz. I think they'd still give it to Sainz. They'd give him a crack at it. And if they need to, they'll bump him down and bring up someone else again. They'll just keep doing that until they find the right combination, which they have now. I don't understand what they're doing, but How was that? Did they say how long that contract's for, or just that it's going to be renewed? Doesn't say necessarily how long.
No, okay. I think he'd probably be on a one-year recurring contract. Okay. I'd say.
So yeah, maybe one more year, but that can't last forever. I got another story for you, Raj.
Sure.
This one's going to get a lot of further debate. I think we're still going to be talking about it, but the start from Bottas. The FIA has come out and they've basically defended the false start, quote unquote, or jumping the start. Quickly, we didn't actually talk about it in the race review. We probably should have. What did you make of it? Did you think it was a jump start? Yes or no?
God, I honestly, when I looked at the video, I'm like, yes, it would have to be. But
I didn't think so initially, but I've seen further evidence and now I'm agreeing with you.
Yes. Yeah, no, like I looked at it frame by frame and I'm like, okay, so the wheel started moving when the light turned out. And
it didn't go past the line though. So is that, it's when the wheel starts, you've jumped the start? Even if you've basically pulled up a little bit early in your box and it says jump the start, does it mean you've passed the line inside the box or your wheels have started moving? I would assume it's your wheels start going.
Yes, but that's the thing. It seemed to start simultaneously. So I don't know if you heard the commentary saying, oh, they take this into account. They take into account a reaction time. Yeah. So if that was the case, he would have been penalized. So, Martin Brundle, you're wrong again. Research your shit.
Just broke my microphones with your anger at Brundle there.
Sorry.
But yeah, the FIA has basically come out and said, although Mercedes, you know, moved while the lights were still on, it did not exceed the allowed tolerance for movement.
Correct. Which started in 2014, by the way.
So yeah, they do look at the human reaction time thing, but I think that's more about a reference of, you know, how quick are these drivers? And look at what you can do on the, you know, Formula One media love it because they get to talk about how fast people's reaction times are. I don't necessarily think they're taking that into account on the rules. They're watching the frame by frame, seeing if there's any tolerance in it. And man, it was close. But
yeah,
I think it was a good call from the FIA.
It was super
to let him
close.
Go.
But according to what Charlie Whiting said back in 2014, he said it's a lottery.
Yeah.
Of course, the drivers are going to try to anticipate the lights going out. Just so happens it literally is a lottery. If they luck out, good on them.
If not,
they
you're going to get at least a
3-second
penalty.
To get, exactly, you are going to get penalized to the ground.
Yeah.
So, when Martin Brundle said, oh, they actually banned them from anticipating the start, wrong. He said, you're not allowed to anticipate the start, wrong.
And then he went on to call him Jos Verstappen. So, obviously, you know, that
wrong.
Whole week.
and Jan Magnussen, wrong. All wrong.
All across the board. Running out of time, though. So, you got any more stories for us?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Little bit of off-topic news, just quickly. Okay. GP2 championship, Pierre Gasly.
Mix them together. Lovely.
Yeah, champions. Pierre Gasly is going to be replacing Sebastian Buemi for the New York E-Prix.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes. So, this is Formula E news, by the way. Sorry.
That's the electric version. And if you don't know who Buemi is, he is the current and defending champion.
Correct.
So current leader of the championship in Formula E and defending championship.
Yes.
Champion.
Yes.
God, you've confused me with all these champions.
Champions.
I don't know if I like the news because Pierre Gasly is getting more opportunity to be, you know, racing. But I don't. I mean, Formula E are always trying to push that they're trying to be taken seriously. And, you know, they're like, oh, we might look at fan boost getting removed, make it more of a serious racing league. And then you kind of don't prioritize the championship leader and he's just going to go drive in World Endurance this
weekend. Yeah, he made a personal choice to go drive in WEC.
Well, I mean, his contract probably required him. I'm sure his WEC contract said, hey, by the way, if Formula E want you this weekend, they don't get priority. We do.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the case. But it's Formula E's job that when you get all your drivers together, you put rules and you put regulations and you put scheduling in place to make sure that they're all racing. It makes Formula E look like a really shitty little racing league that they're doing for a bit of fun as opposed to some serious competition points. If you're the leader and you don't even care enough to go and maintain that, doesn't speak wonders for Formula E.
No, it doesn't. That being said, he's won 6 out of the 8 races, Buemi, so he can probably get away with it.
He is comfortable, but, you know. Yeah. Says something about the league, I guess. I don't know. They said from next year, there will be no instances of WEC conflicting with their schedule. So that's good.
That's good.
So at least you're going to have maybe broaden the horizons even further for some really quality drivers.
Mm.
Good to see what Gasly does. It'll be interesting.
Indeed. And Alan Prost basically said, you know, racing in New York is going to be a challenge as he makes his Formula E debut, bloody, bloody, blah. But looking at preparation, we are confident and our goal remains the same.
It's the first one in New York or Brooklyn, wherever they're racing
correct.
It. So it's new for everyone as well. So you know, at least he's got that in his back pocket.
Yes, true. But he's going to have to drive a Formula E car for the first time.
It's easy. It's like a remote control as your car. You'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Simple.
Crashes into wall.
He's going to find it so difficult to get the harvesting ride and actually be able to drive the race to the end without running out of power.
Well, let's vote for him on the stupid fan boost thing.
Yeah, and that'll be two, and the rest will go to who?
Well, normally it goes to Buemi, doesn't it?
Buemi or Degrassi.
So I guess it's all going to go to Degrassi, or all of Buemi's votes go to...
Or for some reason, Daniel Abt, and I don't understand why Abt gets any of it, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know. I
try and ignore the fan boost thing, to be honest. Anyway, look, unless you've got any more vital stories, I think we've got to get straight into this Silverstone preview, because we've waffled on a little bit, Raj. Check your notes. Anything vital?
Kind of.
All right, I'm going to press the button. Last one. Last story.
So, Formula One might be introducing their new engine formula a year early.
So what year, 2020?
2020.
Okay.
So it's going to come out in 2021, but they're thinking of bringing in the V6 twin turbos in 2020. So it's a accelerated schedule that's being driven by who? Red Bull, primarily.
Because they want to stay competitive.
Well, yeah, pretty
much.
They
want to reset.
Yep. And there's hopefully Cosworth as well are going to be rejoining Formula One as an engine manufacturer.
Okay, because we've talked a lot about rumors this week. Without getting into all these rumors like Cosworth, and I've heard Audi, and I've heard things.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's also a bit of that push? As you said, we probably won't see any new teams come in until 2020. Do you think there's a push that now Liberty are looking around and saying, hey, does anyone want to start a team? And these Chinese backers, because there's already two interested parties in starting two separate Chinese sponsored teams. Do you think that motivations like that to go, wow, we can have two teams from China, maybe another one from over here and another one. Those kind of things that you're going, okay, we want this reset, quote unquote, as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Liberty, again, this engine change is going to be one of their biggest tools in equalizing the racing.
They had
again.
It this year with all those aerodynamic changes.
Yep.
So
no,
they want
sure.
it again.
Yes, and they would like to... they'd like to make it a lot more accessible for teams. And getting Cosworth back in the sport would be a great way to do that. And getting rid of the bloody MGUH, a super good way to do that.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
As Ricardo says, I don't even know what it stands for. So,
Look, I'm very excited. I reckon in the little off-week period, we need an episode where when there's no race review, no race previews, we're just going to talk news and speculation and bullshit.
Yep.
And we're going to talk a lot more about that story and many others. But let's go straight into our race review of Silverstone, which is only a week away.
Preview.
What did I say?
Preview.
Okay, let's get into our race preview. I'm not going to edit this. We're just going to leave that in.
Yep.
Race preview of Silverstone.
Oh, yeah.
So, Raj, the home of F1, as they like to call it.
Yes.
Great Britain. The British Grand Prix, Silverstone this weekend. Only a couple of days away, really.
Yeah.
By the time this is out, I think practice is less than 48 hours away. What do you reckon of Silverstone? Where does this stand on your... do you look forward to this race compared to some of the other ones throughout the year? Where does it stand for you?
Pretty much near the top.
Yep.
Top five easily, if not top three. It is a fantastic venue. Maggots, Beckett's, Cops. Every corner has a name.
And a good one.
And everyone knows what the hell they are. Mm. Why? Because the corners are just phenomenal. The S's in particular are one of my favorites. I don't think they're the best S's on the F1 calendar, by the way, but they're goddamn epic. Mm. Suzuka holds that title for me.
Yeah. I like Brazil, but
Yeah, okay.
I like Suzuka's S's as well. Fair enough.
Oh yeah, okay. I think we're looking at a good one. Mm. Ferrari coming out with the updates.
A lot of
Red Bull
coming out
with the updates.
Yeah.
Mercedes. Oh wait, everyone coming out with the updates. So. Mm. We may have a completely different field come Sunday. Who the hell knows?
I think, definitely we're going to see some major things going on. We saw Force India this weekend. They had those little winglets come off their car. That was very minor.
Yeah.
But there already a bit of speculation going around that we could see some other teams with similar or the same winglets come Silverstone. And they're kind of like, oh, let's see what Force India does. And as we saw, Force India did pretty damn solid once again.
Yep.
Definitely didn't damage their chances of doing well. So I think we'll see other teams maybe copy some of that. and we'll turn it into, you know, like 2007, 2008, where there's just appendages coming off every bit of the freaking car. As the season goes on, everyone goes, we could just stick a lot of shit on this and it'll be really fast. Yeah, cool. Stick one on there and there and we'll keep going. So we'll see what those update packages bring. As you said, the track is amazing.
The track is phenomenal.
I think we're probably going to see Hamilton come out swinging. You know, he bounces back when he has a shitty weekend.
He drives Silverstone really well.
Exactly.
Too,
and this is his home. He knows he knows this track like the back of his hand. So do you want to get straight into predictions then?
Yeah, okay.
Raj, pole position. Are you going to bet against the last two-year winner, Hamilton? Are you going to bet against him or are you going to go? No,
I'm going to go with Hamilton.
Yeah, I was going to do the exact same thing, actually. Yeah. Both of us going with Hamilton. What about for the winnie? We'll do your podium.
Okay, so my podium will be Hamilton, Vettel. Oh, third is a tough one. I'm going to say Hamilton, Vettel, then Bottas.
Okay, interesting. Yep. So no more, you're going to end the streak of Ricciardo.
Of Ricciardo.
Because he's just broken the record now for most consecutive podiums of a non-championship
ship winner since Barrichello back in 03. Yeah, I know, I remember. But yes, I am. Purely because I think that if I say out loud Red Bull is going to succeed,
You jinx it.
They'll just die.
Well, last week you said Verstappen was going to come third, and that did jinx it exactly. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly, it jinxed it. So my driver came. So let's see who should come.
I hope Ricciardo comes. No, never mind. I'm not going to jinx it out.
First will be not Ricciardo. Second, not Verstappen. And third, not Palmer. I don't give a shit.
Put a Brit on the podium. Not Palmer for third.
Not Palmer for third. That sounds good because it's definitely not gonna be Palmer.
I think you're pretty much on point, but I am gonna swap Bottas and Vettel. So Bottas in second, Vettel for third.
Oh, Merck 1-2.
Merck 1-2. Right. I think Bottas is coming off an awesome weekend.
Yep.
There's a lot of, you know, little bit of talk every now and then about, is his championship actually a possibility now, or is he at least, you know, going to be a contender? Unlike maybe what Ferrari have done, which has said we're looking for a Vettel championship. Bottas legitimately thinks that he could stay in there and have Mercedes back him till the end.
Wise,
exactly.
Hell, if let's say Lewis and Vettel come together, they're out of the race, and Bottas goes on to win, that's 25 points on them. And what's the gap? Like, not that much.
No, you're pretty close at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be pretty much within striking range at that point. So, yeah, I think I don't want to see Hamilton asking for help from Bottas.
No.
You're in a battle with, you know, for the championship with this guy. Do not complain. Do not ask for help. Drive fast and win, Lewis. I don't want to hear that shit.
No complaints. Any safety cars then?
Yeah, two.
Two safety cars?
Two. I reckon it's going to be a big call. An eventful one this weekend.
So do you mean you probably think it's going to rain then?
I hope so. But I think even without rain, we're going to see a lot of action, a lot of incidents. And I think especially with these faster cars, we're going to see a lot of offs. A lot of offs.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Good call. I like that. I only put down one safety car because I don't know. I think Silverstone is one of those classic tracks that there's a lot of runoff.
Yeah, it's true.
A lot of ways you can avoid having a safety car to come out if not necessary. But if the last 2 years change, like last 2 years they've had the perfect weather.
Yeah.
Speculation of rain, but it never came.
Yeah.
If we get rain this weekend, which come on, I mean, it's England. It rains all the freaking time. It's all I hear about them complaining about. So why can't we have rain on Silverstone? They're not doing what Singapore does. They don't shoot the clouds away.
It always rains when there's a freaking cricket game on. So maybe that's what we should do.
We'll just schedule a cricket match
Australia,
in the middle.
Australia v England at Lords.
No, you can't. They're not playing. Australia's not playing cricket at the moment.
Why?
Did you not hear about this?
No.
See, this is shit that Formula One does not have. Quick side note, if you're not Australian and you don't know, Australian cricket team, they're not even touring South Africa at the moment because there's a pay dispute and no one in the Australian cricket team will agree to the pay terms over the next coming years of, like, you know, how much of the rights deals do we get and all this stuff. So
holy
they cancelled a whole tour. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you not, like, watched the news for the last few weeks?
No.
It's a pretty boring story because it really doesn't change. The Australian cricket team, the players want more money and the Australian cricket go, nah, you got heaps of money. You'll be fine.
Start winning. Maybe they'll give you more money. Shit.
You can't win if you don't tour. So, you know. It's kind of a vicious cycle. But that's shit you don't get in F1. There's so much money running around for these drivers. There's not really too many pay disputes. You're just happy to be in a car.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. They're literally the opposite. You have drivers paying to get that seat. So,
yeah.
Quite the opposite. But yeah, they should just schedule a cricket match right in the middle and it'll rain like crazy.
Exactly.
That'd be good. Any more predictions? Do you want to do another crazy one? Do you have any crazy predictions then, like last week? They did not pan out for either of us, but anything you want to add as a prediction? Because if you get it right, some mad respect for picking it. Mine's going to be Palmer gets points.
Mine's going to be two Haases in the points.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they're coming off their big weekend and backing up.
Yeah, exactly. I just smoked a whole bunch of crack. That's how I just smoked a whole bunch of crack predictions.
Okay. Well, I don't
just
think
to
mine,
make it clear.
I don't think either of them are that crazy. Like, they're definitely... I mean, actually, maybe Palmer getting points is a little crazy.
Palmer getting points, that's just insane.
But look, I'd love to see that because it'll shut up so many of his doubters to jump out there on home soil and
it'll
go...
give him a hell of a lot of confidence,
yeah,
too.
Important.
Which, and honestly, he's a GP2 champion. He's a damn good driver. Mm. He just needs to pull it out.
Exactly.
Because he's not performing against Hülkenberg right now. Not even slightly.
Well, look, I think that's pretty much everything we need to cover, unless there's anything you want to add about Silverstone, other than, you know, it's coming up quickly. I don't remember the last time we had two races in a row, except maybe earlier in, there was one earlier in the season.
No, I think, like, the last time this happened was last year, dude.
Yeah, maybe.
Wasn't it?
Okay. I mean, I've kind of got used to the week off thing, so it'll be good to just go straight back into it.
Yeah.
Really quickly, it's a longer track than what we just saw in Austria, so there's only 52 laps. It's first held 19:26, so definitely one of the longest held. The lap record, this is really cool, 1:33.4. Who was it? 2013 Red Bull,
probably Mark Webber.
Yeah, that's really cool. I did not know he held the lap record.
Yeah, well, he won't for much longer.
Well, hopefully it's Ricciardo that takes it.
Yeah,
that's all we can hope for. Let's end it on that very patriotic note.
Yes.
From the Australian Backmarker podcast. My name has been Braden. It's always Raiden, but it has been Braden.
And my name will be Raj. It's always been Raj, but yeah. See you next week, guys.
We're podcast. Backmarker Podcast. Check us out on Twitter, Backmarker Pod. Facebook is Backmarker Podcast. The website, backmarkerpodcast.com. And subscribe to us, iTunes, Pocket Casts, all the great, or everywhere you buy your podcasts, we're available. All good podcast retailers. See you next week, Raj.
See you next week, man.